Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
And welcome to all of you who are worshiping online. A couple weeks ago, I worshiped online with you. So I know we have people from many different places, and we would love to know that you're worshiping with us. I'm kind of curious who's worshiping the furthest away. So if you'd post a comment and let us know, that would be great. And it's a joy to be here. As Chris said, I am a United Methodist pastor. I've been pastoring for 23 years in different churches around the state. In fact, this worship space makes me feel connected to my very first appointments in DeSoto. And so it's a beautiful space, and it's so great to be with you all. I've heard about your church from Pastor Cassie as she went through the Board of Ordained Ministry I'm a part of. And so I've heard about how many great things you're doing. I just checked out your Vacation Bible School that just finished up a couple weeks ago. It looked like a lot of fun. I also now, since July, am appointed to the United Methodist Foundation, your Missouri United Methodist Foundation, where I get to help churches and pastors with a whole variety of different things, not the least of which is thinking about how generosity can be a part of your life and make an impact through the church. And if you want to talk about that, or talk about the foundation, or talk about leaving the church in your estate and will, I'd be happy to talk to you after church about that. When Pastor Cassie told me that you're in a series called Wonders of God, talking about some of the stories in the Old Testament that maybe we don't always remember, or we heard but we didn't remember, I thought of one of my favorite Old Testament persons. So a little bit of history. In 931, Israel was really divided into two kingdoms. There was a southern kingdom of Judah and the northern kingdom of Israel. And in 871, Ahab became king of the northern part, the kingdom of Israel. And King Ahab, along with his wife Jezebel — have you ever heard somebody called a Jezebel? It's because of her. You can guess, they were exceptionally awful people. They were awful. They led the community, the country, into worshiping other gods from the one true God. They were just encouraged abuse and neglect and indulgence and all sorts of evil. And so God sent, called a man named Elijah to be a prophet. And the prophet's job was to be the moral and spiritual leader, to speak on behalf of God, especially to the king. And you can imagine that, well, Elijah wasn't well beloved, especially not by King Ahab or Jezebel. He's a phenomenal story. We're going to read a little bit from 1 Kings 17. And I want you to hear how he is first introduced. 1 Kings 17, starting in verse 1. Elijah from Tishbe, who was one of the settlers in Gilead, said to Ahab, remember the king, "As surely as the Lord lives, Israel's God, the one that I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain these years unless I say so." Kind of way to start out, like, "Hey, by the way, king, my name's Elijah. Just so you know, I'm kind of in charge of when it rains." Pretty audacious, right? You can imagine, like, Ahab wasn't real thrilled to meet this new guy that decided he's in charge of the rain. So the very next thing God tells Elijah is, "Get out of there." Verse 2, "The Lord's word came to Elijah, 'Go from here and turn east, hide by the Cherith brook that faces the Jordan River. You can drink from the brook. I have also ordered the ravens for you to provide for you there.' So Elijah went and did just what the Lord had said. He stayed by the Cherith brook and faced the Jordan River. The ravens brought," now listen to this, "the ravens brought meat and bread in the morning and the evening every day, and he drank from the Cherith brook. After a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land." Now that's interesting. Doesn't this sound like a Disney movie? Like the little birds bringing Elijah lunch and dinner every day. It's such an interesting miracle. There's several of these interesting miracles in the scripture today. But one of the things that it's easy to take for granted, but I want to name, is it's a a physical reminder that God is the one who provides. That God provides. You see, I don't know about you, but so often in my life, I'm thinking that, like, I'm the provider, right? After all, what do we say? We earn, we make, we do, we. Well, the scripture teaches that God is actually the source of all that we have, right? That God is the one who's given us the skills, that God's given us the abilities, that God's given us the materials, the resources, that God's given us the opportunities we use for the work that we provide. That God is the source. And sometimes even God has to get the birds to take care of us. Do you remember Jesus talked about birds, by the way? You remember that? What did he say? Why do you worry about what you will eat, drink, or wear? Look at the birds. Look at the ravens of the air. They don't worry about what they'll eat or drink or wear. How much more important are you to your Heavenly Father? Yeah, I love that question. Are you more, do you think that you're more important than birds? Do you think that you're more important than birds? That God's going to take care of you? If God takes care of the birds, if God's going to take care of you? I think God's asking us, Jesus is asking us, Elijah is reminded that God provides. Now, the story gets even crazier, so I want to continue. The Lord's word came to Elijah, get up and go to Zarephath. By the way, if you're ever reading the Bible and you don't know how to say a name, if you say it with authority and quickly, nobody questions it. That's a key to being a pastor. I just want you to know that. Or just mumble it. Go up and go to Zarephath and Sidon and stay there. I've ordered a window to take care of you. So Elijah left and went to Zarephath. And he came to the town gate and he saw the widow collecting sticks. He called out to her, please get a little water for me in this cup so I can drink. She went to get him some water, and he said to her, please get me a piece of bread. Now, as surely as the Lord your God lives, she replies, I don't have any food. Only have like a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil in this jar. Look at me, I'm collecting sticks, two sticks, so that I can make some food for myself and my son. And we're going to eat the last of the food. And then we're going to die. Do you hear the hurt and pain? And I love what Elijah said. It's one of the most common commands in the Bible. Elijah said to her what? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Some of us may feel like we only have a little bit left, right? A little bit of money in the bank. A little bit of food in our pantry. A little bit of energy in our body. A little bit of patience in our spirit. I think it's important to note that Elijah's saying the little bit you have is more than enough with God, right? The little bit you have is more than enough with faith. Go and do what you said, only make a little loaf of bread for me first, which is pretty audacious. Like, hey, I get you only get a little bit, but take care of me first, right? You can make something good for yourself and your son after me. This is what Israel's God said. The Lord said, the jar of flour won't decrease. It won't decrease, and the bottle of oil won't run out until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. Listen, the widow went and did what Elijah said. So the widow, Elijah, and the widow's household ate for many days. Later we're going to find out it's 3 years before the rain comes. The jar of flour didn't decrease, nor did the bottle of oil run out, just as the Lord spoke through Elijah. Now I love this. It's kind of a random miracle, isn't it? But it's with that theme that God provides, that God takes care of us, that God cares about us just like God cares about the birds. You know, whenever I heard this story, it reminded me, I wonder if Jesus thought about this. You remember there's this time whenever Jesus is trying to preach to the crowd and the disciples come to him and say, hey, Jesus, it's dinner time, people are hungry, we don't have enough food, so you got to send them away to go get their own food. And what did Jesus say? Do you remember? Jesus said, why don't you feed them? And they're like, with what? All we have is what? A little bit, right? We just have a little bit of bread. By the way, a little bit of bread is a baked way of saying a little bit of flour in a jar and oil, right? We just have a little bit. And what did Jesus say? Bring the little you have. And what did he do? He prayed. He asked God to work with the little they had to do, feed 5,000 men plus women and children. Another time to feed 4,000. I would have thought like after the first time they would have figured it out. I love that. How many times are we like this that we just forget the little we have is more than enough when we have faith? Let's continue. It gets even more outrageous. Verse 17. After these things, the son of the widow, who was the matriarch of the household, became ill. And his sickness got steadily worse until he wasn't breathing anymore. And she said to Elijah, what's gone wrong between us, man of God? Have you come to me to call attention to my sin and kill my son? You hear the hurt, hear the anger, hear the pain? And Elijah replied, give your son to me. And he took her son from her. He carried him up into the upper room, which is also interesting, upper room, where he was staying. And Elijah laid him on the bed, and Elijah cried out to the Lord, Lord, my God, why is it that you've brought such evil upon the widow that I'm staying with by killing her son? Then he stretched himself over the boy three times, and cried out to the Lord, Lord, my God, please give this boy's life back to him. And the Lord listened to Elijah's voice and gave the boy his life back, and he lived. Elijah brought the boy down from the upper room to the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, look, your son is alive. And the woman said, now I know that you are really a man from God, the woman said to Elijah. And the Lord's word is truly in your mouth. This is a word of God for all of God's creation. Thanks be to God. I could keep on going. I love the keep on reading Elijah's story. It's so cool. It's so ridiculous in many ways. One of my favorites is what happens next, but I got to stop here because of time, because I could be preaching all day. Just a couple questions I want to ask you. And here's the first one. How much is enough for you to trust God? You know, I love that last phrase. Did you hear the widow? Now I know. Now think about that for a second. Now I know. She didn't realize it over the past like years of eating food from this little bit of bread, you know, this little bit of oil and a little bit of... She didn't understand it then. And before we're too critical, I wonder how many times we're actually a lot like the widow than we like to admit. I don't know about you, but I do this. Like, I'll get myself in a jam. God, please help me. Please, I promise, God, if you only help me with this test, I know I should have studied. I didn't study. I'm going to fail. But please, God, if you just help me this once, please, God, help. I promise I'll never do it again. And we know we're going to fail, right? And what happens when we get the test back? We're like a C-. Never works out with an A, but I'm happy with a C-, right? You're like, yes! And what do we say? How many of us don't say, thank God for helping? What do we say? We say, woo, I got lucky on that one. We don't recognize. How many times are we stuck in a jam? We cry out to God because of we lost our job, we lost a relationship, we lost a loved one, we got a diagnosis, our bank account is empty, we have problems with our children, problems with our parents, we're stuck, God help me, please help me, God, if only you will. And then it works out. But we ignore the prayers, we ignore. And so often I wonder If God's primary way is to work through ordinary things that seem ordinary but really are extraordinary, but we never recognize God's work, that God provides, that God cares, that God is working. And part of the reason that stories like this and all the other stories we're talking about, part of the reason these are in the scriptures is why? To remember what God has done, to believe what God will do. To remember what God has done so that we can believe what God will do, that God is taking care of us now. And if you find yourself hurting, struggling, worried, overwhelmed right now, I want to encourage you to think back to those times in your life where you've been the most desperate, the most worried, the most scared, the most afraid. And to remember that God, how God has worked through you. You may not even realize it's God. One of our United Methodist heritage is this word, prevenient grace. It's the work of God before we're ever aware of it. You might not have realized it, but God is working to provide for you back then, just like God will take care of you today. What do you need to really believe, to see that God will take care of you? Here's a second question. How much is enough for you to be happy? Now, stick with me for a second. Years ago, a pastor put this slide up. Nothing will make you happy. I'm like, oh, that seems pretty hopeful, right? Nothing will make you happy. Amen. Like, I've been to some of those churches, by the way. And then they needed one small change. No thing will make you. Just one little change. They're like, oh, yeah. That makes sense. We live in a world that tells us something very different, don't we? If only I have that iPhone. By the way, I have friends with kids that are convinced, if only I have the cell phone, then I'll be happy. If only I had a bigger house. If only I had that boat. If only I had a better job. If only, then I'd be happy. You know what? There's always a next thing, right? And we know this. We just forget it, but we know it. We know that things don't make us happy, and yet we're so often focused on those things. What I love about this story is it reminds us that it's not about her things that made her happy. It was about what? The relationship. And it wasn't really simply about her relationship with her son. I actually think it was that deeper relationship that she found through Christ or through God. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That relationship that she found through this miracle of hope, of faith, and that connection with God that just seemed to be choked out by what? Things. You know, it's interesting. Historically, this woman at the time would have had no rights. She couldn't, no rights. So the fact that she was a widow made her amongst the most vulnerable in all of society. In fact, everything she owned would have actually been owned by her son, regardless of how old he was. So whenever Elijah healed her son, God provided for her. Everything she had was tied up to her son. God provided for her. But what made her happy wasn't the stuff she got back, right? It was a relationship. And in a deeper sense, it's that relationship, that faith in God, that could endure her through life. And if you haven't discovered that, if you're chasing after things and stuff, if you haven't discovered that, I just invite you to talk with Pastor Cassie. If you're here, I'd be happy to talk to you. If you're online, to leave a comment, to discover that faith that will actually bring you happiness. How much is enough to make you happy? It's not things. It's about that faith in God. And here's the third question. How much is enough for you to give? So things are going to make you happy, and it's a relationship with God that makes you happy. Do you know how you develop that relationship with God? It's giving. Now, stick with me for a second. You're like, whoa, preacher, I know you're working the foundation, but you made a hard turn there. Stick with me for a second. There's a story where Jesus is talking to religious leaders and trying to trick him. And they say, teacher, are we supposed to pay taxes? By the way, notice they're still arguing about taxes 2,000 years ago. Like, they're trying to trick him. So what does Jesus do? He says, hey, give me a coin. Give me a coin. And he says, look at this coin. Whose face is on the coin? Remember? Right, and Jesus gives that famous line, give to Caesar's. What is Caesar? And what he means is like the coin has Caesar's face imprinted, so pay your taxes. By the way, Jesus didn't give us an excuse to not pay taxes. Now, what's the second half of that line? Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to God what is God's. Well, what's God's? Well, if you go back to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 2, whenever God created everything, God created humans. Do you remember it said that we were created with what? The imago Dei, the image of God impressed on us. That means no person you will ever meet doesn't have the image of God in their life. You were born in the image of God. God's imprint, God's face is imprinted on you. So whenever Jesus says, now see this coin, give that to Caesar because Caesar's face is on it. Give to God. What has God's face imprinted on it? Us. Give to God. What is God? What do you give? All my heart, all my soul, all my strength, all my might. All that I am, give that to God. You know, one of the things, I love being a United Methodist Christian. I love the way we talk about our faith. We actually say faith is something we cultivate by doing spiritual practices. And because of our faith, we do these spiritual practices. So we talk a lot about practices. When you join the church, if you haven't joined the church, I hope you'll talk with Pastor Cassie about making that deeper connection. But those of you who had to join the church, what commitments do you make? I support your church with... anybody remember them? Yeah. So different churches use different language. I always heard prayers, presence, gift, service, witness. You know, I don't know. Sometimes I'll say worship, grow, serve, give, and invite. But five things. Yeah, there's one of those things which I think is interesting. One of them is giving. By the way, a lot of people are like, do I have to? In fact, I've been preacher long enough, people say, well, Pastor Mike, I want to give, but not only money. I want to give my time. I'm like, that's great. You know, we have a word for that. You know what we call it? Serving. That's awesome. That's one of the things that we do grow closer to God, and because we love God, we're supposed to give our time through service. Well, I want to give my devotion. Yes. You know what we call that? Worship and prayer. Yes, that's so huge to give ourselves. There's also that giving one. What's that? It's about the money. I love this fish while I'm preaching. It's about giving our money. Why? Do you know why we give our money? Jesus, this is so cool. Jesus says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Where your treasure... by the way, the things that I love the most get my most money. Namely, my wife. And occasionally, St. Louis Blues hockey. I like the things I love most. And here's the thing. The more money I give to St. Louis Blues, the more I begin to love it, right? And guess what? Part of, if you want to know how to grow closer to God, give sacrificially. And I mean with all five of those practices, including your generosity. It's one of those symbiotic things. We do it in order to grow our faith. And because our faith is growing, we do it because of our faith. It's a both and. I'm going to pray for us, but one more thing that I think is so cool. Going back to this widow, do you remember how the whole thing started? I mean, beside like the, hey, by the way, I'm the guy in charge of rain, and then he ducks out. Do you remember how the whole thing started with the widow? What was the very first thing he said? Hey, I want you to what? Hey, I want you to give, bake. I want you to give the little you have. Why? Because God provides. God, if you trust God, God provides. I want you to give the little you have because why? The little you have is more than enough to do what God calls you to do. This is going to sound weird and I haven't thought about this and that usually gets me in trouble, but it just came to me, so I'm going to say it anyways. I love coming to churches in the post-pandemic where it looks very different than pre-pandemic. And you all are a beautiful church. Part of the reason I know that you're a beautiful church isn't only because of the faces here. It's because of the faces that we don't get to see, because if we saw, they'd be kind of weird online. But the little, regardless of size, and I've started in small churches, I've gone to big churches, regardless, it's about recognizing that you have all you need to do what God calls you to do through faith in Christ. Amen? That's the good news of this widow story, and that's why it's so important to remember all that God has done to believe that all what God will do. Can I pray for us? Holy God, we thank you for this day that you have made. It is beautiful. We thank you for this place that we know there are so many people who have gone before us who have had made this opportunity today possible. God, I thank you for Pastor Cassie and her leadership and the ways that you've been working in this church. God, I pray that you would pour out your spirit, renew her, refresh her, continue to work in a powerful way with this church to see your spirit do things that they can't do, and yet you call them to do. And so you invite us to do what we can't do, but only we can do through you. Help us to live that lesson. Help us to be reminded of this widow's faith, reminded that you are the God of possibilities. Help us to live as your people. In Christ's holy name I pray, amen.